Amen. Thank you so much. It's been a great delight for me to be with Brother Chad and the family this week. I tell you, they're such a blessing to me. They're some of my favorite people to be around. And I don't say that because they're sitting here. I'd say it if they weren't here. In fact, I'd say more if they weren't here because it embarrasses them for me to say these kind of things. But the Spirit of the Lord's on them. You spend a little time around them. What you sense is the Spirit of God on them. And I thank the Lord for it, I'll tell you. That's a precious thing. Saints of God, full of Jesus, in love with Him. Yeah. Surrendered by faith to step out in obedience to His call on their lives. Thank God for them. The Lord's blessing them with music. I mean, my favorite song that we sung tonight is their original music. Now, there's some great stuff being written out there. But I don't know if y'all know this. I don't know if you've gotten their album, but you need to if you haven't yet. It's all original music. And I'm telling you, it's as good as anything coming out of Nashville or anywhere else. So you just ought to pick up a copy of it. I get a 10% kickback if you mention my name. Amen? All right, if you have a Bible in hand this evening, I want to do something a bit unusual, but I feel like the Lord really wants me to. I've been trying to struggle through this, and I want you to go to the book of Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20. Most New Testament Christians do not have the first foggy idea what to do with the law of God. Most of us ignore it. Now, we'll fight battles over having it hung on the courthouse wall or displayed down at the public school. But I'd be happy if just some of us started acting like we were going to try to live it in our own lives. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. So Exodus chapter 20, I want to just look at one of the commandments tonight with you, but it's one the Lord's really spoken to my own heart out of, and I want to share it with you. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 6 and reading to verse 7. Two verses tonight. I'm breaking into the Ten Commandments. This is in the middle of the rehearsal of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Verse 6 speaks of our God, His character. Well, let's read verse 5. I don't want to begin in the middle of a sentence. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, speaking false gods, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Father, help us this evening to be sober before you and hear what the word of the Lord is to us. Jesus, I pray. Amen. Most of us this evening think of taking the name of God in vain exclusively in terms of attaching certain four-letter words to the name God. If we attach a cuss word to God's name, then we say, well, they're taking God's name in vain. And they are, but that's just the molehill on the top of the mountain. In fact, it barely even scratches the surface of what it means to take the name of God in vain. I want us to look at this verse tonight for a little bit in some detail. I would like for the Lord to help us to understand the fullness of it, because I tell you, it is a massive problem in the Church of Jesus Christ today that we are taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now, I know this and you know it tonight. I want to state it to make dead sure that you understand. The law, keeping the law, does not and cannot affect our salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We don't earn salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments. But I tell you tonight that being saved by the grace of God does not mean it's okay to disregard the Ten Commandments either. I studied Hebrew under a man who was one of the godliest men I ever knew. He was a conservative and a fundamentalist at a time when it wasn't popular to be that in Baptist seminaries. And he wrote a book on obedience. I never forget the opening statement. He said, the fact that grace has replaced law does not mean that disobedience has replaced obedience. Now there's a mouthful. A lot of folk take, you see, the meaning. The fact that we're saved by grace and not by works, they take that to mean it doesn't matter whether I walk in obedience to God or not. Works don't save me, so what difference does it make? I tell you tonight, works do not save you, but your life of obedience does have a dramatic impact on your Christianity, and it has a tremendous influence on the effect of the gospel in your community. I want to speak to you tonight on this matter of taking the name of God in vain. King James Version, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. One other translation says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. But I like Young's literal translation of the Bible. It says, thou dost not take up the name of Jehovah thy God for a vain thing. Do not take up the name of Jehovah thy God as a vain thing. All right. I want to do three things tonight. First of all, I want to spend a moment talking about what the name of the Lord means. When the Bible talks about the name of the Lord our God, what is meant by the name of the Lord? I'll tell you tonight, it is more than the handle by which we speak of Him. Now, I know in Western culture, our names really have very little significance to us. It just happens to be what our parents called us, and so that's how people refer to us. But in the Word of God, the concept of a name is a great deal more than the handle by which someone is referred to. For instance, this word that's translated name in this passage of Scripture speaks literally of someone's honor and someone's character. Particularly in Old Testament times, the name was taken much more seriously than it is today. The name meant something, and it many times was indicative of a person's character and their individuality. Have you ever wondered why when God began to work in Abraham's life, you know, Abraham wasn't always called Abraham. He was at first called Abram. But when the Lord came to him at 99 years of age and told him he was going to be the father of many nations, God said, I'm not going to let folk call you Abram anymore. Now your name is Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Man lived for 99 years with the same name. Why is it necessary to change his name? Because the name meant something, you see. You recall what happened with Jacob, the trickster, the cheat, who had spent his life and made his living worming people out of what was rightfully theirs. His name, Jacob's name, meant literally trickster, supplanter. When he was born, the second twin, he came out of his mother's womb holding his brother's heel. And she named him Jacob, which meant heel catcher, somebody who trips people. And he spent his life tripping people up, taking advantage of people. Remember what happened to him one night when God hemmed him up? Yeah, the angel of the Lord jumped on him, about to beat the devil out of him. They fought all night long. And at the break of day, when old Jacob's heart got broken and God could do something with him, remember what the Lord said? You're not going to be called Jacob anymore. I'm changing your name to Israel. You're no longer a cheat and a sneak. Now you're a prince with God. Why do you have to change? The name meant something, you see. The book of Exodus chapter 33. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 33. Just keep your finger here in Exodus 20. Exodus 33 and verse 17. Listen to what the Lord said to Moses. This is a peculiar thing for God to say. Moses has just made the great request, show me thy glory, in previous chapters. And the Lord is responding to that all the way through chapter 33. And in verse 17 of Exodus 33, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Well, what in the world does that mean? God knows everything. Of course he knows Moses' name. He's obviously not speaking here of the literal name Moses. When he said, I know thee by name, he certainly was saying more than, I recognize you, I know what you're called. When he said, I know thee by name, he was saying, Moses, I know who you really are. I know your character. I know you through and through, and your prayer is going to be answered because I know you, Moses. In light of this, I want you to realize tonight when the Old Testament talks about the name of God, it's referring to more than the label by which we address Him. It is more than the name Jesus or the name Jehovah. It is more than that. Psalm 9 in verse 10 says this, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. That's what the scripture says. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Well, what does that mean? That everyone who hears God's literal name spoken will automatically put their trust in him? Obviously not. People hear the name of the Lord all the time spoken, and they don't put their trust in him. So when the Bible makes that promise, what's it saying? They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Means those who know God for who he is, those who know the character of God, will invariably put their trust in him. Everyone who sees the Lord for who he really is will invariably trust him. You remember what Moses asked? I referenced it just now when he said, Lord, show me thy glory, in Exodus 33 and verse 18 and 19, for instance. Exodus 33 and verse 18, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And this is how God responded to him. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What did God mean when he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord to you? What did he mean? Did he mean, I'll tell you how to address me? Did he just simply come down and say, Moses, my name is Jehovah. My name is Yahweh. No, you look a little further in Exodus chapter 34 and you find what he meant by the name of the Lord. Exodus 34 verse 4, Moses is positioning himself now to hear from God. In verse 5 says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and listen, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. What did that mean? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. When the Lord proclaimed his name to Moses, what was going on? God was telling Moses who he was. He was revealing his character to Moses. Now, this is important tonight. I'm laying a groundwork here. When the Bible speaks of the name of the Lord, you see, that's not just the handle by which we refer to him. That's God's character. That's who God is in himself. When the scriptures say, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that's not just putting a cuss word behind the name God. There's more to it than that. Now, what does it mean tonight to take something in vain? Let's consider the rest of this statement. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does it mean to take something in vain? The name of the Lord is a great deal more, we see, than we might immediately think of. It represents who he is, his character, the revelation of himself. So what does it mean to take that in vain? Well, I'll tell you, friend, it's a lot more than something you just say with your mouth. I know when we think of taking God's name in vain, we think of swearing or speaking profanity, but there's a whole lot more to it. That's part of it, certainly, but there's a whole lot more to it. The word that's translated take in this passage literally means to lift. It has a lot of applications in the Hebrew tongue, but it means basically to receive or to accept. To receive or to accept something. Think about that. Thou shalt not receive. Thou shalt not accept the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, what's vain mean? Vain means to ruin something, to smear it. Literally, taking something in vain means you receive it and then you embarrass it. You receive it and you bring reproach upon it. Now, let's put these things together tonight. What I'm doing this evening is showing you how I study the Bible. I'm doing it in front of you. This is how I take a passage apart and look at it and understand what it means. You look at the name of the Lord. You seek to understand, what is that about? Well, that's God's character. That's who he is. That's the literal personality of God himself. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord? It's to receive, to accept who he is into your heart. What does it mean to do it in vain? It means you take him, you receive him, you've accepted who God is. You have received the free gift of his person, his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you have turned around and beguiled it, brought reproach upon it, besmeared it with dirt. Put this together and see what it means tonight to take the name of God in vain. Do not bring reproach upon the character of the God you've believed in. That's what this command means. Do not bring reproach. It's more than speaking profanity, though that's part of it. We can take God's name in vain without saying a single word. How do we take the name of God in vain? My daddy always told me, he's 80 years old, almost 81 years old. I'm 48 all of my life. My daddy said to me, "Now, son, you remember whose son you are." When I was a boy, first starting to drive, going off on my own, when I went away to college, he said, "Now, you remember whose son you are." What's he saying? I tell you, folk, what he's saying was, when you go wrong, you're going to have, it's going to have an influence on more than just you. You're bearing a family name. And if you go wrong, and if you act the fool, it's going to reflect on me. And it's going to reflect on your mother, and it's going to reflect on your family. And that's something we forget, I think, in our culture today. My manner of life, the way I have lived my life, Malcolm Ellis, I've had that name Ellis, the way I have lived my life has either brought honor to my father or brought shame to my father. I have lived in a way that either has made him proud to be known as my dad or made him embarrassed to be identified as my father. And that can be said of every one of us in this room. In earthly way, in the physical earthly realm, that can be said. And all of us, I think, understand that. But I'll tell you, beloved, that's exactly what this text says in the spiritual realm. The same thing is true of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father says to his children, "Do not take my name in vain. Do not receive me and become one of mine and then live in such a way that it makes me embarrassed to be known as your father." John 1:12 says, "As many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God." That is no small thing tonight. Would you agree with me? That is no small thing. You imagine this evening that you and I who have received, remember that's what the word take means in this text. To take the name of the Lord is to receive. We who have received the Lord Jesus Christ have been given a tremendous privilege to be now living with the, we can say with authority from the Word of God, I am now a child of God. God is my Heavenly Father. It is a staggering thought tonight to think that here I am. Now listen, I'm a nobody with a capital N. I came from the backwoods, from the backside of nowhere down in southeast Texas. I grew up with pine straw in my hair and red dirt between my toes. I am a hillbilly. I am a hick from the backside of nowhere. And God, in His grace, gives me the right tonight to say, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. It is an incredible privilege. But let me tell you, with that privilege comes an incredible responsibility. I need to remember who my daddy is. Having received his name, it may surprise some of you to know, only a Christian can take the name of God in vain. That may surprise you. You hear the lost world out there cussing in the name of God, blaspheming the name of Jesus, and you say, that guy's taking God's name in vain. No, he's not. Not if he's lost. Now, he may be swearing with the name of God. He may be blaspheming the name of God. But to take the name of God in vain means you have had to take the Lord into your life. You notice how he says it? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If he's not thy God, you can't take his name in vain. It's something that's exclusive to Christians. This is exclusively a Christian sin. It's for those of us who have received and have believed and we've been given this privilege to be born again into the family of God, and now I'm his child and he's my father, and I have the right, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I have the right to look to heaven. When I address him tonight, I don't have to say, "Oh, thou most high potentate." I don't have to come before God and say, "Great and mighty Jehovah, maker of worlds." When I come before him, I can say, "Abba, Father, Daddy." I've been given that privilege. I've been given that privilege to address the God of eternity in the most intimate of terms as my dad, my father, my Abba. But I'll tell you, folk, we better watch out about this deal. We better not be playing little church games, praying little prayers, acting spiritual at the house of God and acting the fool out in the world. we take His name on us, we better pay attention to what's going on in our lives, because God will not hold him guiltless who takes His name and then treats it as if it's nothing of significance. Treats it as if it's no big deal. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this. It says verse 19, 2 Timothy 2:19 says that the seal of God is sure, because God knows them that are His. God knoweth them that are His. And then it says, and in a great house there are not only vessels of honor, but vessels of dishonor. And it says, if a man will therefore purge himself of sin, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and suitable for the master's use. Beloved, what this passage is about, this Old Testament text, is exactly what that New Testament text is dealing with. We must be careful. If we have taken upon ourselves the name of the Lord God, and He is not just now God, He is my God, He is my Father, I'm in the family, I've received the free gift of eternal life, I better be careful that I am a vessel unto honor, that the life I'm living honors the name of my God and Savior and does not smear filth on Him. We ought to do all we can. What I'm preaching tonight to you folk is this. Those of us who are saved ought to do everything we can to never bring reproach upon the character of our God, the character of our Heavenly Father. We must not take the name of our God in vain. The kind of life I live, now listen to me, I'm going to be through in just one second. The kind of life I live will not change the character of my God. I'm not going to change. God is who He is, and He will ever be who He is. Me acting a fool is not going to change God. He's God. He's glorious. He's majestic. He's worthy of all worship and praise. I will not change the character of God by my ill behavior. But what I can do is I can affect whether or not those around me honor Him as He deserves to be honored, especially those I live with and work with, especially those who do not have a personal relationship with Him. The truth is, they're looking at us. And they're determining what they're going to believe about God based on the behavior of those of us who say we know Him. That's why it is so critical that we do not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. That we do not receive Him into our lives and say He is our God and then act as if His name is nothing of significance to us. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And I'll tell you, that ought to be the day in, day out vocation of every saved person. Whatever else you have to do for a living, whatever you have to do in terms of the daily routines and duties of life, this is the real business of life for the child of God. I want men to see how I'm living and give glory to my Father who's in heaven, to glorify Him. Now, last evening I preached on David and Bathsheba's sin. I want to quote a passage to you that follows up that text in 2 Samuel 11. The sin is recorded in 2 Samuel 11. We looked at that last night. But do you know, David tried to cover that sin up. He didn't repent. He didn't get right with God until the Lord hemmed him up and forced him to. And when God hemmed him up and forced him to repentance, David confessed. He said, I've sinned against God. And the man of God said, the Lord has forgiven you your sin. You shall not die. And then he said this, howbeit, by this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Now that seems almost like a low blow, doesn't it, to you? Right on the heels of God saying to David, I'll forgive you for what you've done, immediately after he said, I will forgive you, he said, but don't take sin lightly. I want you to understand, David, yes, I'll forgive you, and no, you won't have to die for this sin, but you need to understand there were people around you watching you, looking for a reason to blaspheme my name, and you gave it to them by what you did. You have given the enemies of the Lord occasion to blaspheme. Oh, folk, it is serious business tonight to not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. This is not just a verse to commit to memory when you memorize the Ten Commandments and go on about. This is the heart and soul of the Christian life. We represent the living God in this world, and we ought to continually give our everything to live in such a way that we never bring reproach upon His character. The Word of God says we are ambassadors for Christ, which is why Scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Before you let that cuss word go out of your mouth, before you let that liquor go into your mouth, remember you represent God in this world. And men are deciding what they're going to believe about Him based on your behavior. And your behavior should bring honor to Him and not dishonor. Some folks say, a lot of church folk I know would say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I never take God's name in vain. I may not always do what I ought to do, but I don't take God's name in vain. Let me tell you tonight, that's exactly what we do. Every time we join our pals telling or listening to some dirty joke at school or at work, we're taking His name in vain. Every time we go somewhere or do something that a child of God has no business doing, we're taking His name in vain. Every time we leave the church house and act like we never heard of Jesus when we get out into the world, we're taking His name in vain. Every time we compromise our Christianity with this wicked culture, we take His name in vain. Taking God's name in vain is a Christian who lives and acts in such a way as to bring shame and dishonor on the character of the Lord and on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I ask you tonight, are you guilty of taking the name of the Lord your God in vain? I'm afraid we all are more than we want to confess. We could ask it another way. Are you a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor? I could ask it like this. If someone that you know was basing their entire opinion on Jesus Christ based on how you live in front of them, what conclusion would they draw about Him? What would they think of Jesus if the only reference point they had for Him is you? What would the name of the Lord mean to someone around you if they made you their only reference point for the name of the Lord? How precious He is, how worthy He is of all-out surrender, how deserving He is of great praise and worship. Would they conclude that from you, that the name of the Lord is incredible and precious and delicious and delightful? Or would they conclude from watching you and listening to you that the name of the Lord's no big deal at all, man? It's just a little religious thing in my life. We ought to stop playing with Christianity. We ought to stop playing at being a Christian. Christianity is not something we goof off with on Sundays and Wednesdays and then forget during the week. If you're saved, you represent the living God, and one day you're going to give account to Him for what kind of representation you gave of Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things he's done in the body according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. May God help us that not a one of us in this room tonight live lives that bring shame and embarrassment to the Lord. Titus chapter 2 is speaking of this same spiritual principle that I've preached on tonight. When it says in verse 5 that those of us who are saved, well, we were thinking last night, Brother Larry and I were talking after the service, that Titus chapter 2 is such a practical text. It says, older women, you teach the young women how to be holy. Older men, you teach the young men how to be holy. Pass on a legacy of godliness and holiness and perpetuate it generation to generation. And in that context, talking about holy living in the people of God, it says in Titus 2 verse 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Live in such a way that men can't blaspheme the Bible based on you. And then it says in verse 8, that he who is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Or live in such a way that those who are looking for something to jab at and criticize Christianity for can't find a thing in your life to do it with. And then in verse 10, Titus 2:10 says, that you may adorn the gospel, the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That you may adorn. The word translated adorn is a Greek word that's pronounced cosmeo. We get our word cosmetic from it, cosmetics. What does that mean? It means your job, child of God, your job, Christian, is to live in such a way that you make the gospel attractive to men. And the command of our text, when the Bible says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, basically that means this: if you've received Christ and you're saved by His grace, don't live in such a way as to make the gospel repulsive to those around you. And everybody who's ever witnessed for 5 minutes in a row has come on somebody who said, preacher, I don't need that Christianity. I go to school with, and they start naming somebody that's in the church. I go to work with, and they start naming somebody in the church. And they say, if that's what Christianity is, I don't need it. And you and I both know the hard part of that is there's too much of it that's justified in what they have to say. Your business, Christian, my business, is to live in such a way that we make the gospel attractive to men and not repulsive. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Stand as we pray. Father, now here we are assembled tonight in the house of God. We've come to the place of worship. And so, at least in some sense, we have taken on us the name of the Lord God because we're here identifying ourselves with Christians. But the real test is, the real issue is, what are we when we leave the building? What are we when we go home tonight to our families? Around our table, in front of the TV. What are we when we go to school tomorrow or the workplace tomorrow? Help us, Father. Help me, Father, not to take the name of the Lord my God in vain. Jesus, I pray. Amen.